Please take your Bible, turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I believe that the Lord God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to have peace in our life. And you say, well, look at all the things that's going on around about us. Look at what all's happening. You know, we question a lot of things in life, don't we? We question many things in life. You know, I don't know how many times I'd sit back and say, why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? Or what caused this to be that way? And I know that sometimes we shouldn't be this way, but I'm just as human as you are. And you may have the same thoughts I do sometimes, but I sit back and say, now, Lord God, why did you put this on me? Why is that there? Why, with as much as I try to do for you? But you know, I'm glad that our salvation, our life in heaven, is not based on anything that we do, no matter what we say. It's not based on what we do. It's based on our trust and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's based on knowing Him as our Savior and trying our best to serve Him with our lives. The apostles here in John chapter 14, Jesus is going to speak to them. He's going to tell them a lot of things. We're going to read this chapter. We can't cover the whole chapter today. We'd be here throughout the afternoon if we tried to. But you know, I believe that the apostles are having a lot of questions when Jesus is talking to them here. We'll try to get into some of these. John chapter 14, let's read the word of God here. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Let's read in John chapter 14. Let's have another word of prayer today. Our Father, which art in heaven, we do come to you praising thy holy name and thanking you for Jesus. Lord, I praise thy name that you do so much for us, Lord, that we don't even realize sometimes that you're doing things for us. And Lord, I know that you know what's best for each and every one of us. Lord, we may not understand those things at the time they're happening. Lord, we may have hurt, we may have pain, we may have anguish, but Lord, we can have peace in you. And Lord, I pray you'd help us today to realize that, to see that. And Lord, I'm glad that this peace is the peace that comes from you and not the peace that the world gives. Lord, help us to realize who you are today, worship you in spirit and in truth, to hear the word of God, to apply it to hearts and lives and use it for thee. Lord, if there's any here today that's not saved, that does not know thee as Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be their day of salvation because you would save them right now if they ask. And Lord, those of us that are saved, Lord, help us get closer to you today. Help us to hear that word of God. Help us to apply it to hearts and lives and use it for thee. Lord, bless as you see fit today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Twice in this scripture of John 14, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Verse 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now let me ask you something. Is there trouble in your life? Is there trouble in my life? Why do you think the Lord Jesus is speaking to the apostles here and he's saying, let not your heart be troubled? Go back to chapter 13. Let's look at a couple of things and you'll see, I believe, some of the reasons why. Look at verse 21. Jesus said unto them, verse 21 says, when Jesus had said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Wow. Would there be trouble? If you read on, you would see that all the disciples are looking at each other saying, who's going to betray him? Surely it's not me. It's not me. I'm sure they're going around the table and they're saying, is it you? Is it you? Is there trouble there? When Jesus says somebody's going to betray him, I believe there's trouble. Look at verse 33. Jesus says, little children, let a little while I am with you. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you. Jesus says, I'm going to leave. I'm going away. What did he say here? He says, you shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you. These guys have been with Jesus for three and a half years, whatever the time was. And they had walked with him. They had talked with him. They had seen all the things he had done. And he looks at them and he says, I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave. Would there be trouble? Yeah. They depended upon Jesus. Most of their meals came because of Jesus, didn't they? I'm sure they did. Might have been somebody else supplying the food, but Jesus was there with them. And every time they ate, almost, I expect Jesus was there. Every need that they had in their clothes or their shoes or whatever, Jesus was there to meet that need. Do you think you'd be troubled if Jesus said, I'm leaving? Yeah, there'd be trouble. Look at verses 36 through 38. It says, and Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Look at verse 38. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Here's Peter, the big leader of the group, right? The spokesman of the group of the apostles. That most of them probably looked up to him. Most of them says, let's go ask Peter a lot of times. Let's go see what Peter says. Let's go hear what Peter has to say. And here's the Lord looking at Peter saying, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. Would there be time of trouble? Here there be time of trouble. I believe that you and I need to realize that one of us could betray the Lord. We could live in betrayal sometimes in our daily lives of the Lord. That we could feel lonely or alone without anybody to help us. That we, with our living, could deny the Lord. Could there be trouble in our life? Yeah, there's trouble in our life. If you live in this world, there's trouble, isn't it? If you live in this world. But I believe that God shows us and has the answer here to why we can have peace. I believe this scripture is given for all of us. It's not just for the apostles. It's not just for them, but I believe it's for all of us. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and I'll probably get there before you guys do. But anyway, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for all. It's profitable for you. It's profitable for me. And I believe that's why he says here in these scriptures the things that he says. I know he's speaking to the apostles here. I know he's speaking to his group here. But this scripture, John records it for you and I today, doesn't he? John recorded this. The apostle John was the one that wrote this. And he was given to it by inspiration. You know, this wasn't part of my message today, but do you remember the verse 26 that it says here? But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Can you imagine what went through John's mind when he's recording this and he's writing it down? He says, yeah, I remember that. I remember when the Lord told Peter he's going to deny him. And I remember what Peter did. And I remember this. And I remember that. Can you imagine all the things that flooded back in the apostles' minds by the Holy Spirit of God when he reminded them that this is going to happen? But you know what's amazing to me in this scripture? What's really amazing to me is this. That Jesus is just a few hours, a day or so away from being tormented, hanging on the cross of Calvary and giving his life and dying for you and me. But yet he's not thinking about himself here. He's not thinking about himself. He's thinking about the apostles. He's thinking about you and I. He's thinking that we need these words of God. You know, it's amazing that this scripture is given for all people. I believe it's for Christians and non-Christians. Don't you? I believe the Word of God speaks to non-Christians. I believe it can help them to know who Jesus is. It helped you and I one day, didn't it? And I believe it can speak to anybody. And that's what it can do right now. We need to realize that from this scripture that Jesus is going to die alone on the cross of Calvary, yet he's thinking about others. He's thinking about helping others. He's thinking about seeing what their issues are and what's going to happen with them. But if you and I knew that today, or if we knew that tomorrow we'd be killed, what would we be doing today? Would we be trying to help somebody else or trying to take care of our own self? If we knew that was going to happen, what would we be doing? How would we be acting? Look at John chapter 15 for a second. John chapter 15, beginning with verse 12. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Jesus loves us. Jesus loves us. And Jesus shows his love. Jesus tells us here in chapter 15 that he says, I'm doing the will of God my Father, and I'm showing you that you need to love one another, and I'm commanding you that you love one another. Love even as I have loved. Jesus also in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, tells us something here that's important, I think, to know. John 10, verse 17 says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus says, I'm giving my life up because this is the will of God my Father. He requested that I do this. He asked me to do this, and I'm doing what he expects me to do and what he wants me to do. I'm doing the will of God my Father, of God my Father. You know, I said this earlier, and I'll say it again, we can't cover all of John 14 today. I'd love to, but here in John chapter 14, I want to speak on a few verses, beginning with verse 25. Look at verse 25 again. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father. As the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. I want to talk about three things from these verses today. Verse 27 has peace. Verse 28 has joy. Verse 29 has faith. But I'm going to do it backwards. I'm going to come backwards on it. And I'm not going to do it in those orders of the verses. I'm going to come backwards on it. Here's the first one that I want to talk about. Look at John 14, verse 29 again. It says, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Jesus says, I'm telling you this before it's going to happen, because when it does happen, you need to believe. You need to believe. What is he talking about here? Let me ask you this question. Have you ever said something and it came to pass before it happened? I'll never forget this, I guess. I was in the seventh grade. I was late for school. I missed the bus. My mom had to take me to school. Now, let me tell you something. When you live in Mebane and she has to take you to school, schools in Mebane aren't that far apart most of the time when I was growing up anyway. The school that I went to was on the other side of the train tracks from what we lived on. Well, you know, you don't let kids cross train tracks much or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Well, my mom went to take me to school. We got to the train track, and what was there? A train was coming. She was already saying, I'm late for work. You're making me late for work. So I'm sitting there, and there's a train coming. And back in those days, the trains were long trains, mostly long trains. They weren't short like they are now. So we're sitting there, and I look at Mom. I says, what if the fire alarm went off? Because there's only one fire station in Mebane at that time, is on the other side of the tracks. About that time, the fire alarm went off. A little bit later, I said, what if another train was to come? Because that time is two tracks and they crossed by each other in Mebane, and there came a second train. My mom looked at me and says, you better be quiet. So you say things that come to pass, but here's Jesus. He knows what's going to happen. I was just fortunate and lucky to get those things right at that time. But I'm telling you, Jesus is saying, I'm going to tell you something, and when it comes to pass, you're going to believe more than you do now. Wow. Can you imagine that? I believe in Jesus. Don't you believe in Jesus? But when things come to pass that we know that happens, we have this belief that Jesus gives us. I think the first thing that we need to realize and recognize that we need to believe to have this peace that Jesus is talking about here is that we need to know who Jesus is. And in John chapter 3, you know where I'm going with John chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, to have belief in Jesus, when you got saved and when I got saved, we didn't quite understand it all at that moment, I believe. Do you? But I'm going to tell you what, once we accepted the Lord as our Savior and the Holy Spirit of God came inside of us and living inside of us, we started realizing that these things are true. These things are real, because the Holy Spirit helps us to know them, helps us to believe in them, helps us to see them. We can't see Jesus with our eyes, but we sure can see him spiritually, can't we? We sure can know that he's inside of us. We sure can know that he's with us. But the world don't know that. They can't believe that much because they don't know it in the way that we know it. We know that it came to pass. We know that Jesus died. We know that Jesus loves us. We know that Jesus is the Savior of the world. You know that because the Holy Spirit of God comes inside of you and lives inside of you. But also here in John chapter 14, some of these verses that we read, we see something else that I think we need to know about Jesus, is that Jesus and the Father are one. Here in chapter 14, verses 10 through 12, it says, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You see, I believe that once we know Jesus, we realize that Jesus is God, and Jesus and God the Father are one. We can't know that without the Holy Spirit of God coming inside of us, without reading the Word of God, without applying it to our heart and our life. But we can know that, and we can see that, we can believe in that, because Jesus told us it was going to be that way. Then there's something else that I want you to think about here in verses 13 through 15 in chapter 14. I believe that we need to realize that we need to have belief in Jesus daily. Daily. Verses 13 through 15 says this, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments." What is Jesus saying here? He's saying, if you ask for a Corvette, you're going to get it. I've asked for one many times and hadn't got it. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying, if you ask things in my name, what is he saying? If you go out of here and you read the Word of God and you apply the Word of God to your heart and you want to live like Jesus did, you want to love like Jesus did, you want to be like Jesus, you ask for these things and he's going to give them to you. He's going to give them to you. You can believe, you can know more in Jesus each and every day of our life. I believe in Jesus more today than I did when I got saved. I believe in Jesus more today than I did last week. Do you? Yeah. We need to do that. We need to do that. We need to have belief in Jesus daily. Had another verse on that, but I'll skip it this time. Jesus is telling his apostles to not let what is happening, to not let what is going on, to keep them from believing. Can you imagine what the apostles, and they did do it, didn't they? Do you remember the time when Peter says, okay, guys, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, Peter says, I'm going fishing. Who wants to go with me? Well, some of them go with him, don't they? Peter's already getting to the wayside again a little bit. And Jesus appears to him and hollers out at him. Says, have you caught any fish? They didn't realize who it was at first, did they? When they realized who it was, they went to shore. And what I really like about that story is that Jesus already had fish on the fire and cooking them for them and had it going. He didn't have to wait for them to bring in any fish. He could speak and the fish would come right out of the lake. Can you imagine doing that? Can you imagine being a hunter and saying, come on, deer, I want to get you now. Come on. But Jesus could do whatever, you see. But see, what I'm saying is if we do things and live daily for him and trust in him and do it in his name, then we're going to realize that he is helping us. He is our God. He is the one that we're to keep our belief in. Look at James chapter 1 for a second. Some verses here that I want to use for this. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, it says, James, a servant of God, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. What is James saying here? We're to have faith each and every day of our life. We're to have faith. No matter what's happening, no matter what's going on in our life, no matter how things look, keep the faith. Keep the faith. The second thing that I want to talk about here in chapter 14 of John, verse 28, it says, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. I believe that he's talking about joy here. When he says rejoice, we're to have joy. So we're to always have belief in God. We're always also always to have joy in our life. He says, what does he say here? He says, you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Why would the apostles rejoice when Jesus says, I'm leaving? I'm going away. Do you like it when your friends go away or your family goes away or something? No, it's not good. You don't want to be left alone. You don't want to be by yourself. But Jesus says, I'm going away and you need to rejoice because I go unto my Father. Wow. How can we take that? How can we realize that? He's saying, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come back. And I'm sitting there thinking, the apostle's saying, well, if you're going to come back, why go away? Why go away? But Jesus says you need to rejoice. Why do you think Jesus said you need to rejoice? Let me give you some scriptures. We'll try to cover this quickly and then get to the last point. But in Philippians chapter 4, there's a verse there that we all need to have and we all need to have in our life. It's a little short verse. It's got one meaning to it and one meaning only. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. It begins with rejoice. It ends with rejoice, this verse does. And it says, in the Lord always, always. Now let me ask you something. Can we rejoice always? You know, when we're sick, not feeling good, is it easy to rejoice? No, it's not. When we have a lot of pain, a lot of anguish, when we're missing somebody, when we have issues of life, is it easy to rejoice? No. In my prayer, I prayed earlier that I know that He's doing what's best for us. Help us to realize that. Help us to know that. And help us to rejoice in whatever's going on in our life. When you're building something, you hit your hand, hit your thumb with a hammer. Do you say rejoice? We should rejoice because we got that hand to hit, for one thing. But we need to rejoice in everything that happens, no matter what it is. Always, it says here. Another scripture, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 16 through 18, again, is going to tell us the same thing a little bit. It says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He's telling the apostles, I'm going away, and you need to rejoice. You need to rejoice. The apostles are sitting back thinking of themselves. Wouldn't you and I be doing that? Jesus, why are you leaving me? Jesus, why are you leaving us? Stay here with us, Lord. But Jesus is in control of all things. He says that in verses 30 and 31 here of John 14. Do you see that? Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Did you see that? But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go forth hence. Jesus says at the end of verse 30, He says, the prince of this world cometh and he hath nothing in me. You know, I wish I could say that. But I can't say that. But Jesus could say it. And Jesus says, what I'm doing, everything that's happening in my life, me leaving you, me going to the cross, me dying and suffering and dying, and me being resurrected from the dead is all because that's what God the Father wants me to do. And I'm doing that. I'm doing that. And that Satan, that prince of this world has nothing in me. What is he saying? I'm in charge. I'm in control. I know what's going on. And Satan has nothing that he can do about it. And in verse 30, he says, but the world may know that I love the Father as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. So therefore, we need to keep our belief and our trust in the Lord God daily. We need to keep our rejoicing in the Lord God daily, in the Lord Jesus Christ, each and every day of our life. The last point, which is the point that I really want to talk about the most, but we may talk about the least, it looks like. But it's verse 27. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What comes to your mind when you think of the word peace? What comes to your mind? Well, there's much war going on in this world, isn't it? It's not much at peace around here. You know, I hate to say this, but even here in the United States, it's not much peace, is it? I'm going to tell you something that I was told this week. I was showed this week, and I assume it to be true, and I believe it is. But a young lady had posted on a site. She's taking a class in college, and the first paragraph in the book that she has says that Christians are white supremacists. In the first chapter, in the first paragraph of that book, I don't understand why these things are being said. That's wrong in so many different ways. The first way I think of it as being wrong is not everybody that's Christian is white, right? I mean, there's Christians around the world in every race, every nation, I believe. And for somebody to say that Christians are white supremacists, that's wrong. That's wrong. But you know what? Think about this day that we're talking about here in John 14. John 14. Jesus was taken to the cross and crucified. Why? Because he said he was God. Because he said he was from God. Because he said he was of God. But he was crucified in God's way because he became the Savior of the world, and that's God's plan. I can't understand that. I can't explain all of that. But I want you to think about something else. Just think about the Apostle John. John was stricken and put on the Isle of Patmos for the end of his life. But we may not have the book of Revelation if God didn't allow that to happen and God didn't put him there and God didn't speak to him and God to the Holy Spirit didn't give him that. Think about what happened to Peter. I've tried to read some things about Peter this week. And I've heard all my life just about that Peter was crucified and he was crucified upside down because he said, I will not be crucified like my Lord was. And I read some this week that said it may not be true. Either way, I don't know whether it's really true that he was crucified upside down or not. But I guarantee he gave his life up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in this day that he's living in, what are we going to be called to do? What's going to happen in our life? Well, we need to have belief. We need to have joy and rejoicing. But we also need to have peace. Peace. When I looked up the word peace, it said freedom from civil disturbance. It said a state of security or order. It says harmony in personal relations. But when I looked this word up in the Greek, this word peace that he's given here means to join or to become one or to rest as one or to set at one again. What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus is saying, I'm doing the will of God my Father, so there can be peace. There can be a joining of one. There can be a joining again of man to God. He's saying, I'm going to leave my peace with you. I'm going to leave. When I leave, the work is going to be completed. The work is going to be done, and you can have peace with God. What is he saying? You can be one with God again. He can put us back to where we need to be. He can put us back to the point that we need to have in our life. God wants each of us to have a relationship with him. If we don't have a relationship with him, he wants that. But he wants us to have that relationship each and every day of our life. I like that he recorded here, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Why do you think he said that? Well, the things that came to my mind is this. Have you ever heard the word shalom? That's the Jewish way of greeting and saying hello and goodbye, right? If I said that right, maybe I did. Hope I did. But you know, he's saying, I'm not giving you peace like the world gives you. That just general greeting of hey and goodbye and all that every day of your life that you run into people. But I'm giving you a peace that's going to be better than that. I'm giving you a peace that's not going to be temporal like all the peace that we can have here. You know, you can have peace because you say, well, I got a retirement plan that's going to last me the rest of my life. That may not happen, right? We hope it does. We hope it does. You can have peace because you say, I got insurance. If something happens to me, I got insurance covered. Well, how many times does the insurance not cover? And the thing that gets me the most is when you buy something and they say it's a lifetime warranty. And then when you go to say, well, something's broke on it, they say, well, its lifetime's ran out. I mean, you know, so this world's peace is not going to last. It's temporal. But the peace that Jesus gives us is what? It's eternal. It's eternal. When we put our trust and our faith and our rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have peace that's going to last for eternity. For eternity. I'm glad that we can have this peace. I'm glad that we have this peace that he gives us and not the peace that the world gives us. But Jesus is telling us this. Let me give you a few verses and we'll close here in just a second. But look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope making not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You see, it says in verse 1 that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have this peace. We have this peace. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4. I read one verse earlier. Let's continue, read that verse again and continue on to verse 9. Philippians 4, verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I'm glad that it says the God of peace shall be with you. Shall be with you. And we know that we have this peace. And he even told us here that we have this peace in Jesus. Let's look at something else to see this. Look at 2 John. The book of 2 John, verses 2 through 4. Because 2 John's only one chapter. And it says here in 2 John, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. Even here in verse 4, verse 3 it talks about peace, but verse 4 talks about rejoicing, and it talks about walking in truth or believing in faith, knowing who Jesus is, knowing who God is. And I believe that we can have peace in our heart and peace in our life because we have the Lord Jesus to give it to us, but also because we can keep our faith where it ought to be each and every day. We can keep our rejoicing where it ought to be each and every day. Therefore, we can have peace. But if we lose faith, if we lose rejoicing, boy, the peace is going to be gone. It's not going to be there. We need to have these in our heart and our life. Look at John chapter 16 and verse 33. We'll close with this. John 16, 33, Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Do you see the truths that are mentioned here in this one verse? He says, in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Aren't we glad that Jesus overcame the world? Now, if the worldly aspect looked at it and says, no, he was a failure, right? Because he went to the cross and he died. And most of them see that in history, but they don't want to say that he resurrected from the dead. They don't want to say that he sits on the right hand of God the Father today making intercessions for us. They don't want to say that he lives inside of Christians each and every day of their life. They don't want to say that. They just want to say he was a failure because of his life on this earth. But I'm going to tell you what. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Do we have faith in that today? Do we have rejoicing in that today? Do we have peace in our heart today? We can have peace. We can be at peace with our fellow man. We can be at peace with ourselves. We can be at peace with God, but only if we do it God's way.